Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And remember, with our InvestTalk podcast, you can participate. The podcast is produced every weekday except holidays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. So just make your call and join in. You can talk directly with Steve or Justin at number 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, and we'll be talking with you. And now today's InvestTalk podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It's January 12, 2017, and we're all about above-average investing for the average investor. We try to answer your questions live during this 4 to 5 Pacific time slot that we have Monday through Friday. Or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listen line at 888-99-CHART. We'll go to that. We'll be answering questions all the time. However you want to get them to us, we'll answer. Okay, I have one that email was sent to me today that I'll be answering. If you're planning on working until you drop, here's something to think about it. The problem with this boomer retirement, that's one of our talking points today. Our goal is to help you be a successful investor, to help you do that. So what does it take to do that? Well, you know, I can help you, but you still have to do all the work, right? It's not that straightforward. It is pretty simple, but it's not that straightforward. There are many schools of thought when it comes to investing. And each individual seeks their own path. For instance, Warren Buffett, he's a deep value investor. He doesn't care about technicals. He doesn't care about economic fluctuation. He doesn't care. He buys things that he thinks is very viable when they're cheap, and he'll wait years for that to happen. He's not in a big hurry. And one reason why he is so successful, he has insurance companies that constantly bring in money, and money builds and builds and builds, and when the opportunity is right, then he invests. But he always has money coming in to take advantage of it. We don't have that luxury, most of us. Most of us don't have that. So what is your own path? Some people just look at the technicals and ride the trends. They don't even look about the fundamentals, don't care about that. And some of the most successful investors have the really deep knowledge of both fundamentals and technicals of investing. Technicals meaning reading a chart. And we like to say fundamental analysis, this is what I like to do. Fundamental analysis tells you what to buy, and technical analysis tells you when to buy or sell. And of course, economics bleeds into both areas and is always pertinent as what when implementing any kind of portfolio strategy. You gotta pay attention to the economics. It's a process, and a process that never ends. You gotta be paying attention. Things change all the time. You have to pay attention. This doesn't mean you have to constantly trade. It does not. And it doesn't mean you compare your current holdings to other attractive investments in the current market. You should always have a watch list of companies you want to invest in. It means you have to pay attention to what's going on, not only with your stocks and positions, but the overall market, the economics of the country, the economics of the world, because no matter how good a company is in a recession, it's going down in price. Now, Warren Buffett wouldn't care. Matter of fact, he likes those recessions, I'm sure, because he puts money to work. Now, this also takes time and resources, but time in the market is very, very important. Time in the market. Not time in the market, time in the market. Okay, so maybe you have sources about where to learn more about investing. Well, you can share them here. We're up for any money questions on InvestTalk. So let's go to the Q&A portion of the program. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, Steve. This is Arvind from the Bay Area. I actually wanted to find out more about how do you trade the S&P E-mini, the market? I know there are a few ETFs that you can trade, but what is the best way to do it if I need to go long when the market opens or go short when the market opens? Is SPY, the spiders, the best way? Or there's also another instrument, which is the futures, the ES, that you can buy and sell. I just wanted to understand how best to trade the S&P 500. Thanks.
Well, if you're going to trade the S&P 500, if you're going to trade, the word here is trade, then it depends on what kind of trader are you going to be. You're going to be a swing trader, a day trader. You're going to, what is it that you're trying to do? What's your strategy? Now, what instruments are used? ETFs are, you know, represent indexes. You can go short or long the index. And if you really want to be speculative, you can use the leveraged ETFs that go two or three times long or short the indexes. And why I'm even suggesting those, because they're very liquid. You can trade them. The S&P, SPY is the long side of the S&P 500. SH is the short side. And for everybody else out there, what he's trying to do is make money whether the market goes up or down by trading and trying to go in the direction of the market for the short term. And I don't know what short term is to him. So I'm not sure how I should answer that question. Should you use futures? Should you use options? You know, what's the best way to do it when you're trading the indexes? My personal belief is you just trade the indexes using the SPY and SH, or if you want to be more speculative, the doubles of those. There's those that do two and three times on a very short-term basis. Long-term, I don't like those leveraged funds. They're not long-term investments. They're trading vehicles. Trading vehicles. The problem with this boomer retirement plan, that's one of our talking points today. We'll work our way through several during this hour, because I always do. Another one will be, what will the Trump rally do? Are we seeing the end of it? Is there evidence that it's coming to an end? Yes. Is there evidence that it is not? Yes. So I got both sides. Let's talk about that. The biggest global risk for 2017, according to the World Economic Forum, the biggest global risks. Got three or four in a row. Not talking about economic risk necessarily. They could be the biggest risk to the planet. But if they're risks to the planet, they're also economic risks. Therefore, they are stock market risk. But what did they say was the biggest risk? Now, they did not, what I thought was interesting, they didn't give you a probability of these things happening. And finally, updating your estate plan. Do you have an estate plan, number one? Do you need an estate plan, number two? I guess, do you need one is number one, and that you should answer that question. If you have an estate plan, have you looked at it lately in the last 5 years? Because there's things you need to update on that thing if you didn't. Now, what did the market do today? I don't know if you paid attention, but it was interesting in its volatility. That's what I found interesting today. Let's go to Yahoo Finance, I guess. The S&P was down 5. The Dow ended up being down 63, and the NASDAQ down 16. Now, the NASDAQ in the morning was down like 58, 59 points, over 1%. The S&P was down 20. The Dow was 150 points down. So then it crawled its way back during the day. So it was a pretty good volatile day. And I won't say extreme because it wasn't. But it was more long-term normal-ish today. 1% move in a day is not extreme. It's just that we're not used to that. We've had smaller moves than that in days recently, in recent years. So we'll see. We'll see. It's kind of interesting, kind of fun. So that was what the market did today. There was no really reason for it to move. There was no big news item or anything like that to drive it in one direction or another. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I know many of you feel handcuffed by the 401k program you have at work. I know it, because there's not a lot of choices. You feel that those choices are extremely limited, and they usually are. And that makes it difficult for you because you're not sure what you should do. Well, we have a solution that might help. It's called My 401k. If you'd like to know more about it, head over to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab, and then My 401k. Charlie, let's talk to Jim in Massachusetts. How are you doing, Jim?
Hi, pretty good, Steve.
Thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. It's actually a real estate question.
Sure.
I'm going to get ready to retire here in probably another year to 2 years.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to retire, not retire. I'm going to buy a new house in about 2 years.
Okay.
So I was thinking of selling this house, mm-hmm. buying the new house, put 20% down on the new house, and the money that's left over, invest it instead of paying it off. That way there it can...
How close are you to retirement?
The income tax.
I understand. How close are you to retirement?
I've got about 7 years.
Okay. So when you buy a new house and you now have a mortgage, you're going to have
right.
that mortgage into retirement when you will not have
yes.
income coming in. So that's the biggest fear I have. Now, I understand
okay.
that you want to take that money and that difference and invest it in the market and hope that then the market will go up and you'll have plenty of money to pay off the mortgage then. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And also you get to write it off the interest?
Yes.
For
that's
your taxes?
Yes, you do. The interest on the mortgage you get to write off during that period of time.
Right.
What if the market
yes.
collapses 50% in 7 years? What would that do to you? With that,
yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. See, the closer you get to retirement, Jim, the less I like that idea.
Yep.
The less I like that idea.
Oh.
Because of the limited time you have to make up the downswings in the market, you know. And I can't predict the market. No
right.
one can. And this is the
right.
issue. Chances are good if you invest it and you do it smart that you will make money with that money. But will you make more than the mortgage money? Remember, you're paying 4%, 4.5%, whatever the mortgage rate is, right? Right?
Yes.
So
yep.
the 30-year mortgage, let's say yep. it's 4.25%. I'm just picking a number. I think it's close to 4.5, somewhere around there.
Right. Yep.
So now you got to make more than 4.5, but that's not true, really. We forget. I forget. You get the write-off, right? You get the write-off
mm-hmm.
of that
yep.
interest.
Yes.
So that might knock it down to 3.5. So now you need to make more than 3.5% a year to make this idea work, right? Because
correct.
If you paid
yep.
off the mortgage and you didn't have to pay 4.5% or 3.5% with the tax benefit, if you didn't have to pay it, that means you don't have to earn it to pay it, and therefore something else has to earn it to pay it. And so you're saying, well, I'll take
right.
that money and invest it, and it'll earn it. Well, it's kind of hard to get 3.5% safely. Well, that means you have to go to
yes.
the market.
Yep.
What's your what?
Yep.
So now you have no risk money in the house versus risk money in the stock market. It's
yep.
Jim. I probably wouldn't do it if I was 5 or 6 years away from retirement. I probably would not do it.
Okay.
Okay, it's just a
yep.
little bit too much yep. risk involved. Just too much. If, you know,
well, you make sense. You make a lot of sense.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Jim. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
Very cool.
Let's go to Inez in Fremont. How you doing, Inez? Good. Thanks for the call.
I just want to give you just get some advice. I'm 20 years old, and just kind of wanted to look into investing. And I opened up a Roth IRA with Betterment, so I'm
yes.
not sure if you're familiar with that.
Yes.
They use RoboAdvisor.
Yes.
Kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. Also, I know you're a little bit older. I was just kind of wondering, if you were my age, how would you go about kind of investing, and what kind of advice would you have for someone young like me?
Okay. Well, and as I'm running out of time, but those are two very good questions. I do like Betterment. I think that that's robo-investing is fine, just like index investing. They're fine, and you can do it. And I'll have to take the break, and I'll answer your second part after the break if you don't mind. This is InvestTalk, everybody. Remember, we're not all about stocks and bonds. Maybe you need help deciding whether to sell your house or not, or maybe invest in other properties. Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. Anita, you're still there. I hope you held on.
Yes, I'm here.
Cool. Yes, I'm older. I'm 60. I'm in my early 60s. You're in your 20, did you say, Anita?
Yeah, 20 years old, yeah.
Okay. You should not invest like I would. As a young person should be very aggressive, be in stock market, and not be afraid of it. Don't be in bonds. Just be in the market and stay there and just keep investing. That's what a young person should do. An older person getting closer to retirement, or a person who is more conservative, doesn't even have to be an old person, then you act very differently. You want to grow your money, but you want to make sure that it's not going to collapse on you. And so therefore you invest differently. But a person your age, you buy stocks, you buy growth stocks, you still diversify, you still have some risk management, but you should always be in the market, not try to stay out of it, because you can't time it. It's very difficult to time it, Inez. It really is.
Right. So would you recommend just low cost growth index funds?
Or, yep.
I mean, as of now, my Roth IRA has 90% of it in stocks.
What I would do, I would low cost or low fees, if you're going to do ETFs or mutual funds, very low fees, and Vanguard's very good at that, and have a combination of small, mid, large cap size stocks, and probably be on the value side more the growth side, because over long periods of time, value does better than growth. But I still would have some growth, because, you know, at times they really work. So that's what I would do. I would be pretty aggressive with my money if I was 20. If I knew what I knew now, then that's what I would do. But I did start investing when I was 20, but I didn't, I wasn't nearly as aggressive as I should have been, I think.
Gotcha. I know Vanguard, typically the minimal investment is $3,000, correct?
Yeah, they have some, but you can use the Vanguard ETFs where you can buy 1, 2, 3 shares. You don't have to buy the mutual funds. You can buy the exchange-traded fund like a stock. And Vanguard has them. Okay? And that's
gotcha.
Thanks for the
Thank
call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Good luck. It's a great place to make money. Just don't think you're going to get rich quick. That's my biggest fear. People think they're going to get rich quick in the market. And they try to get rich quick, and that's a way to get poor. Think about Warren Buffett. He didn't get rich overnight, but he got rich over the years. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's talk about the Trump rally we've had. Okay, let's talk about that. How do we know if it's ending? Well, one way that you could know that it's ending is look at gold. What is the price of gold doing compared to the market? And do you know what it's done this year? 2017. Far outperformed the market in this recent 10 days, 11 days in the market. Does that mean the Trump rally is over? Now, in another sense, what do you look for to see if it is over? What other things do you do? Gold is one, but also you look at the average stock compared to its performance to the Dow Jones. And the average stock would be the New York Stock Exchange. And one way to look at that is the advanced decline line. Advanced decline line. Stocks advancing, stocks declining. If that line is going in the same direction as the Dow, then the rally is still in place. And it is going in the same direction, by the way, in case you were wondering of that. So if the advanced decline line starts to fall, but the Dow is still going up, the thinking is, well, the rally is coming to an end. Another one. Interest rate sensitive stocks diverge from the Dow, the S&P. Interest rate sensitive stocks diverge. They go in different direction. For instance, that would be REITs. They're interest rate sensitive, right? Interest rates go up, they'll go down. So when they start to diverge from each other. Now, what's behind these things? Well, why would the interest rate stocks diverge from the rest of the market? Why would they diverge from that? Because interest rates are rising and investors don't like stocks. We have lots of debt and interest rates are rising. Utility stocks are one of those things. There's reasons behind it. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. That's what makes it so hard to know what's happening. I can look at the advanced decline line. Oh, well, that's pretty easy. But you know what? Sometimes it takes months or even years. The advanced decline line would be going down, the Dow would be going up. You still can't time the market. You can't time it. You don't know how sensitive those things are to the actual movement. It's not easy. I bring all these different things up just to demonstrate to you that it's, you just can't use one thing or two things. And even if you use all the things, it still does not necessarily have to happen. It's not easy. Okay? I'm not helping you, am I? I really am not. Huh? We're heading into part two of our Thursday Invest Talk. Plenty of time to get your questions in. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. You can talk to me live between 4 and 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday, 888-992-4278.
Our podcast will continue next. So here's how it works. You reserve a time when you can spend an hour on the phone or Skype, and then email copies of your statements and such to Steve. He has a chance to look them over and offer some suggestions when you eventually connect. You can have a conversation, ask questions, and before the hour is up, you'll have a better idea of how your retirement plan is progressing and some new ideas for making it better. The process starts with you. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review. On our next Invest Talk, help for investing rookies and veterans, how to make better decisions and avoid scams in the new year, fraud-busting investing tips for 2017. That's one of our talking points next time. But now it's your turn. Check in at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve or Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia, podcast listener. What do you think of National Grid? N as a Nancy, G as a George, G as a George. Thank you. Bye.
Well, to be honest, I think it's a very low-priced stock. National Grid PLC, British company engaged in gas, electric transmission, and distribution. British company. They had some recent pretty decent news today, which was good. Won't go into the details, but it was good. But the stock has fallen from 73 all the way down to the high 50s. And it's been flumping around the high 50s since November. It looks like it's building a base to me. Now, I will tell you this. We own some of NGG in one of our managed accounts. So we have a position here. The problem is they were making $4.64. That's what they made in 2016. But they're going to make less this year, $4.10. And so that price, but that's already been built into the stock. The stock is a $58 stock. So it's a 13 PE. 5-year range is 12 to 17, 19% return on equity, which is very good. They have a lot of debt, which is a worry, but most utility companies do carry debt. I don't know if that's something I would worry about. I just think it's near or at a bottom. That's what I think. So I kind of like it at this point. You might want to wait for it to get some strength, but I noticed the volume has picked up. And the volatility is picked up at the same time. So I'm not sure it's done falling, but it could get cheaper. But it probably won't. It has $7.43 cash flow on a $58 stock. Of course, they need that cash flow to pay debt. So it's not like, I like it. I think this is a good time to take a shot at it. And we have taken a small position in it. Okay, how about retirement? The problem with this boomer plan retirement plan, the baby boomers retirement plan, what's their plan? Keep working beyond age 65. Now, whoever came up with the arbitrary age of 65 as a retirement age, I don't know. That was the Social Security Administration back in 1930s. They picked 65 as the quote-unquote retirement age where you start collecting Social Security. And they, by the way, the average life expectancy was in 61, 62, 63. So they expected you to die before you collected it. And that was a job creation program, by the way, Social Security was. Job creation program to get older people to retire to make room for the younger people. But that's an arbitrary number. But we deal with it. The baby boomers say they're going to work past that. Because why? Because about 63% of them say they have to. But did you know that a little under 50% have had to retire because of health problems or some other reason, being forced to retire? A little under 50%. So, you know, 63% want to retire past that, but not all of them are going to be able to keep, I'm sorry, 63% of people want to keep working, but they're not all going to be able to because of health reasons. Or maybe your employer just doesn't think you have it anymore, being older. Whatever. Trust me, there's age discrimination out there. I've seen it. Everybody knows it. No one wants to admit to it. But it's true. So a lot of baby boomers want to slowly ease into retirement. You know, there's surveys. I'm quoting surveys, and you can see the whole article on InvestTalk.com called "The Problem with a Boomer Retirement Plan." I've seen that too. When I talk to a lot of people, they, you know, engineers have a great opportunity because their skills are, there's not enough engineers out there, and their skills are still in high demand. Nurses, healthcare providers, high demand still, so they can work past their retirement age if they want to, that kind of thing. So just be aware that, you know, as you get older, you may want to keep working, but you may not be able to keep working. You've got to plan for that. Let's get back to the 24-hour listener line number, pick up another question. I like answering those questions. By the way, I do have an email question I have here too, so we'll get to that before the end of the day on Coca-Cola. 888-99-CHARGE, our anytime number.
Hi, guys. This is Lewis out of Kansas City. I'm wondering your opinion on Bristol-Myers BMY. I think investors saw it as overvalued this summer, and it seemed to take a big fall. Now it's been slow to rise. I think it's at a pretty good price point right now, and the fundamentals of the company are sound, and it gives a pretty decent dividend. This would be for a long-term buy. Thanks, and I'll listen on the podcast.
There's a lot of things to like about Bristol Myers and a few things not to like. BMY, Bristol Myers Squibb, develops branded pharmaceuticals for the treatment of cardiovascular, so on and so forth. And of course, day before yesterday, Trump talked about this. President-elect Trump talked about it, and he tanked a lot of these drug companies, saying they charge way too much. Okay, I don't think he realized the power he has in the words he speaks now, that is president-elect, and when he becomes president. Everything the president says and does is so scrutinized. So he affected the prices of these, of Bristol Myers Squibb, and they're very solid, like you point out. They have a decent dividend of 2.8%. Their sales growth has been picking up recently. All good news. What's not so good is it's kind of expensive still. They're going to make $2.98 next year. It's a $56 stock. So, you know, the low range of the PE is 14 to on the low end. Well, 14 times 30, 50, that would be about 52. So it's getting there. It's almost there. So it might be a good time to pick it up. I kind of like it, especially after what Trump said, because it was recovering before he spoke. Then it took a 2 or 3 point hit. Well, that might be an opportunity. So I kind of like Squibb on the balance. I like it more. I like the things that are good about it a lot more than I like the things that are bad about it. You know, so I would have a pretty good amount of debt for a drug company that I don't like, but it's growing its sales, has high return on equity, good cash flow, and sales are going to be, you know, are moving in the right direction. I kind of like that. That BMY, everybody. Let's go to Dan in Palo Alto. He wants to talk about Nike. Let's talk about Nike. How you doing, Dan?
Hi, fine, Steve. It had been beaten down. It looked like and just wondered if you'd be a buyer at this point.
I am. I like Nike a lot. It's the stock that's on my watch list to buy. I'm getting very, I'm getting pretty excited about it. let me put it this way, Dan. If you put on a half a position today, I would cheer you on. I think that's a pretty smart thing. My biggest concern, Dan, is I think the market, I would like to see a market correction. And whatever that does to Nike will just give me a better opportunity to buy it. That's what I'm thinking in my head. But then what if it doesn't happen anytime soon? What if Nike's, because it's already hit a bottom. Nike hit a bottom in November. Okay, and it's higher highs and higher lows since then. It's now, that bottom was what, 49.50, and today's at 52.40. It got up to $54, and the last 3 or 4 days has fallen. So maybe I'm trying to be too perfect on this, Dan. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I do like Nike right where it is. It's a good value here. It's a pretty good, and the PE is high for the overall market. But Nike's always had a high PE. 18 to 33 is its range, and it's at 23 today. Next year they're going to grow their earnings by 13%. That means the PE is going to be about 20. That means 18 to 33. It's pretty darn low, close to its low, you know, on the range.
That's awesome.
I kind of like it. Okay, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Steve. Okay.
Appreciate it. You know, sometimes there's no clear-cut answer, and many times there isn't. And I like Nike. I want to be a buyer of it. If you're going to be a long-term buyer, then you start buying it. Yeah. I would like to see a correction in the market. That's what I would like. Make me feel more comfortable. Each month, I schedule one-hour meetings with our listeners to answer important questions about their retirement portfolio and what they're doing. How much cash on hand do they have? Do you have exposure internationally? Are you over-diversified? Talked to someone yesterday. I thought he was over-diversified. Is your broker providing you with what you need to succeed? Are you cutting losses and letting your runners win? Or are you selling at lows and buying at highs? What are you doing? We can do it in those in-person meetings in our California offices, or I can do it over Skype or the telephone. Either way, it's pretty easy. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then Portfolio Review.
The best investing approach is one that combines disciplined fundamental analysis with a market perspective and an understanding of human psychology. As we say, it's an art and not a science. How about sharing your investing experiences? We'd love to hear from you at 888-99-CHART.
We're going to talk to Wayne in San Jose. How you doing, Wayne?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Yes, I have a quick question on gold short term. I have NUGT.
N or is M as a mirror or N as a Nancy?
Nancy, Union, George, Tom. The gold miner.
Okay. N-U.
Is that G like George?
N-U-G-T.
Yes.
And. Okay. Let me go here. N-U-G-T. I had to type all these things in, and we got it wrong. Okay. This is the direction. Direction Gold Miners, 300% leverage.
Yes.
So, you have to decide, Wayne, what direction you think gold's going to go in, because this is an exchange traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the 3 times the New York Stock Exchange Gold Miners Index. So if you think the gold miners are going to go up, this should go up 300%. It won't go 300% because, you know, that's its goal, but it will probably not achieve it. It'll get close, but it won't achieve it because of what they have to do, you know.
What's the entry point for this one, Steve?
Okay.
Short term?
On a short term,
because gold has been going up from 1125 now, today's 1200 something.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you think we have a small pullback?
I think actually that we're going to continue up. I don't.
Okay.
If we get a pullback in the market, I think the gold miners index will go up. I think we've already seen the pullback. I think it's behind us. I think if you're going to try this, you do it now.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong. But I think we've got the bottom in on gold in the short term. And I think short term that gold miners will probably do pretty well. They've already come off their bottom. And it looks like to me that...
But it's come up very, very fast.
Yeah.
From 1125, now 1200.
Well, yeah.
Maybe, what's the entry point for NUGT, N-U-G-T?
It just about went above, it just went above price? It just went above its 50-day moving average. So this would be your entry point.
Right here.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. You have a good one.
Good luck. Bye-bye. I hope it works, Wayne. Thank you. Will it pull back? Of course it could. But technically, it broke above the first 50-day moving average. It did that 3 days ago. It's been hanging around that 50-day moving average. As long as it stays above it, it's a buy point. And it's not extended above it, and it's not. Just still real close to it. So, you know, the last time it was above 50-day moving average was last in August, and it was coming down and broke below it. And ever since then, it stayed below it until 3 or 4 days ago. And it bounced up above it. That's a buy signal. If you're talking about technicals, everybody, that's a buy signal. Biggest global risks. Biggest global risks. And this is according to the World Economic Forum. This is a global risk facing the planet. So it's not an economic risk, but if these things happen, trust me, it'll affect the economy of various places. Number one, they said the biggest global risk is extreme weather. Wouldn't that be true every year? Number two, large-scale involuntary migration. Wouldn't that be as a result of wars? Just saying. Number three, major natural disaster. Number four, large-scale terrorist attack. And number five, massive data fraud or theft. Now, I don't mean to criticize the World Economic Forum, but aren't all those things always the greatest threats to the world? I don't know. I guess maybe a 5 mile wild asteroid hitting. Would that be under natural disaster? You're listening to Invest Talk. The invitation is always open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 888-99-CHART is our anytime listener line number. Why not check in now? Love to talk to you. I had an email. Came from Anna Lee. Thank you for a wonderful podcast and your contribution to society. I did not know I was contributing to society. I really didn't. But thank you for the kind words. I certainly greatly appreciate your dedication. Could we discuss Coca-Cola on your next podcast? It has gone down significantly and wondering if it's a good time to pick it up. Let's take a look at Coca-Cola. Symbol for Coca-Cola, everybody, is K-O. K-O. So we're going to look at Coca-Cola. Everybody knows who they are. Their home office is Atlanta. Non-alcohol beverages, you know, plus the sodas that they have. But, you know, they're very big into vitamin waters and everything else. They've diversified away. Now, the stock has come down. Okay, the question is it cheap? Is it a good time to pick up? And that's what she's asking. They're going to make $1.91 this year and then $1.98 next year. Sales have been falling 4 to 7% per quarter for 2 years. This is why you have a problem. This is why the stock has been weak for some time. Okay, the stock is selling for right now at $40.95, but it's only going to make $1.98 next year. So let's call it $2. That's a 21 PE. Is that cheap? No, it's not cheap. It's not. Now, its PE range has been 18 to 24, so that's a pretty high range for companies not growing very fast. For me, it's still too expensive. I would not buy it, even though it's come down from $46 to $42. That's not cheap enough for me. What's cheap for me? I like to buy it around $20, $25. When did it be last trade in that area? 2009, 2010. See, so, you know, I mean, every year, let's put it this way, every year, it's been in, the lowest it goes is about $36. The lowest was last year was $36. The lowest the year before was $36. The year before that was $35. The year before that was $33. So why would I buy it at $41? It's trading at now. I'd wait till it hits the low. What's been the high of the years? Last year, 43, 45, 43, 40, 35. And right now it's 40, 41 right now. Not cheap enough. I wouldn't buy Coca-Cola. Great company. Nothing wrong with the company. I just don't think it's cheap enough. Wait till it gets cheaper. And if you have to wait a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, so what? Wait. Be patient. It's one of the hardest things to do in a market. That's the one thing I had to learn that was so difficult. Be patient. Let it come to you. And if it doesn't come to you, another thing I had to learn, don't sweat it. Look for something else. Don't worry about it. Updating your estate plan. Now here's, oh man, everybody's just tuned off the radio. Look, I'm not saying go crazy and you got to go redo the whole thing. But, you know, what if you have beneficiaries in there that died? Have you thought about that? What if you have an executor who's going to take over your who's going to manage your will, and that person is you don't like anymore? So take a look at the beneficiaries. Take a look at executors. Are they the ones you want, the executor? Take a look. Do you have a durable power of attorney, both a medical and financial durable power of attorneys? Do you have that in there? And is it, who's doing it? Who has it? Is that somebody you like? Check your accounts. Make sure they have proper titles. Because if you have a trust, you should have everything in the name of the trust, all your assets. Have you kind of moved away from that over the years? And if there's any changes that need to be made, don't try to do it yourself. Have the attorney do it. It's not going to cost that much. Have the attorney do it. Anyway, and especially if you have any changes in your family, you got a divorce, you remarried, you have a child that you didn't have before, grandchildren that you didn't have before. These are changes that will affect what you want, to, where your money to go, and who you want to control that. We're all getting older, especially I'm talking to you baby boomers, my generation. Got to continue to be diligent here. Our time is up for the hour, everybody. A reminder, I will be reviewing portfolios in San Ramon on January 31st. San Ramon, January 31st. But before that, I have time set aside for reviews by Skype and telephone. Why not avail yourself of this free service? Take a look. There's no pressure here. Just take a look at your portfolio and see where you are. Appointments are limited, so if you're interested, go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I and everybody at KPP want to thank you for listening today. And let's meet up here again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.